Welcome to another JPR Live session where we get to better know artists we admire and hear exclusive live performances from the JPR Steve Nelson Performance Studio. I'm Dave Jackson. JPR Live sessions are made possible with support from the Talent Club. Find their live music schedule at talentclublive.com. Joining me today is the Oliver Wood Trio. They stopped by after a really great show last night in Medford at Roxy Ann Winery. They're on their way to the Big Pondrew Festival in Sisters today, and it was really nice of you guys to stop by. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having us.
The Oliver Wood Trio is Oliver Wood on guitar and vocals. Jono Ricks plays percussion, keys, and sings backup. And he's also part of the Wood Brothers. And Ted Pacchio on bass and vocals. And between the members of this trio, and if you add Chris Wood of the Wood Brothers, in all their collaborations, like artists like Seth Walker and Carsey Blanton and Bridget DeMeyer and Nikki Bloom and Tinsley Ellis, Steve Berlin, Katie Pruitt, there's rarely a day that goes by that we aren't playing something at least one of you all was involved in. The new album just dropped a few weeks ago, Fat Cat Silhouette, produced by Jono Ricks. And the Wood Brothers did a phone interview with us a few years ago after the release of Kingdom of My Mind. At the time, you'd just moved into a new studio that you'd purchased. Was Fat Cat Silhouette produced there as well?
It was. It was indeed, as was the most recent Wood Brothers album, Heart is the Hero.
Cool.
So we've been in there for 6 years in the studio.
And there's quite a few collaborations on this record. All kinds of folks were spinning on open air. Who helped out on the album?
Oh, man. Well, of course, Jono produced, Ted played bass, and but there were collaborations with Steve Berlin of Los Lobos and Katie Pruitt.
Yeah.
sang a duet with us, Have You No Shame. And but there's a Seth Walker collaboration. Or in fact, we're going to play a song today that Seth and I wrote. We actually recorded on his album about 10 years back.
We actually have a JPR Live recording of that as well.
Nice.
That he did.
Well,
yep.
We're going to give you another one.
Nice.
That's and, but other collaborators, like writers like Rick Robertson and Dottie McCormick wrote, an old buddy of mine wrote Have You No Shame. Mm. And
that's
some of the stuff we all kind of wrote together in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a hodgepodge.
Cool. And it looks like the trio tour is wrapping up soon. And then there's a Wood Brothers tour. Where are you going on that?
Oh, gosh.
I have no idea where we're going, but I'm sure it's awesome places.
It looked like an extensive tour going on for a couple of months.
Well, it's a perpetual on and off thing forever. So.
Well, I want to get into talking about making the new album, but we'd love to hear a song. What do you want to play first?
We're going to play the first cut on the album. It's called Light and Sweet.
It's Oliver Wood Trio in a JPR Live session.
There was a sparrow sitting all alone outside the window, talking on the phone to his lawyer about a deal with his ex-wife, soon to be. She wants the kids, she wants a nest. She said he never tried, but he said he tried his best. He just got distracted, lost his way. He's just no good, is what she say. They say, ooh. They say anything they want. They say, ooh. They say anything they want. They say anything they want. And a trouble boy took a new car. Was a candy apple red shooting star. And he drove the valley, wind in his hair. Left all his troubles way back there. And he went up the mountain to catch a view. A steep and narrow road into the blue. took a turn just a little too late. Got just what he wanted is what they say. They say, ooh, they say anything they want. They say, ooh, took his coffee, bitter and dark, just like his spirit, well, some would remark, until he met a strong woman, and she lifted him up. Well, you'd hardly recognize him now, so full is his cup, and they're holding hands down at the diner. Across the table, and he moves in beside her, and the waitress asks him some coffee today, light and sweet is what they say, light and sweet is what they say. They say, ooh, they say anything they want. They say, ooh, they say anything they want. They say, ooh, they say anything they want. They say anything they want. Here we go, here we go.
You're listening to the Oliver Wood Trio in a JPR live session, and that was Light and Sweet, to tune from the brand new release, Fat Cat Silhouette. Thanks for playing that. That's great. Oh,
thanks for letting us.
Yeah. So your last solo record was Always Smiling, and it was written during the pandemic, and it was a solo project. Was that kind of always in the back of your mind, is doing solo work, or?
Never. I think it was kind of born out of time and energy left over during the shutdown, where we weren't doing Wood Brothers things, and Jono and I were spending a lot of time in the studio, just practicing, experimenting, playing, and occasionally I had a few friends come in and do some recording and stuff, and so it just kind of came out of the time created, and I otherwise never feel like I would have had time or ambition to do it, so. A lot of people did that, you know. I think a lot of people just found time and energy there and had to fill it with creativity.
So yeah, creative people kind of have to do that.
You got to do it, yeah.
So this one, when did you start writing these tunes?
It varies. I mean, like the Seth Walker tune goes 10 years back.
Right.
But then some of the other tunes, you know, Jono and Ted and I wrote a couple in the studio. Jono and I wrote one in the studio. It was sort of after the last Wood Brothers record. I feel like we have the luxury of having a studio. Mm-hmm. And Jono and I like to spend, Jono's in there more than I am. He's producing records for other people. He's experimenting, he's working on his own music. And so it's just kind of a natural progression when, you know, we finished a Wood Brothers project, but we're never finished being creative and writing. So I'm always looking to do something creative. And also, collaborating with people outside of the Wood Brothers, mm-hmm. is kind of a nice exercise in growth and experimentation and connection with other artists. You just learn so much, and mm-hmm. so it's just kind of a cycle. We're actually, you know, back in Wood Brothers mode, writing the next Wood Brothers album.
Cool.
Too. So
very cool.
So it just, you know, keeps going and going.
Yeah. So we talked a little about Grab a Hold. You worked with Seth Walker on a tune he did. It was the title track to his last one, Hope I Know. When did you guys actually meet?
Met Seth on tour years ago, early Wood Brothers days, maybe even before you, or were you with us already?
I met him on a tour, so that might have been the first tour.
Right, and he would come out and open shows for us.
Yeah.
I think Chris and I met him when we were a duo and we played the same thing. So it's been, you know, mid-2000s since we met him.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so, but then he came out a lot with us, and I produced a record for him back in 2010 or 11, and then Jono's produced like three records for him.
I think it's three.
Gosh, yeah, so.
We'll be in the studio.
And Ted's definitely played lots of gigs with Seth, and we've all, so Seth's part of our fold, or we're part of his fold, or however you want to
say it. The fourth Wood brother or something, maybe. So Have You No Shame, that was a duet with, ended up with Katie Pruitt. And you mentioned who you co-wrote that with before. Who was that?
I did not write it at all.
Oh, you did?
It was written by a hero. Ted and I actually came up playing a lot in Atlanta. That's where he and I met each other. And there was a guy there named Donnie McCormick, who was kind of a legend within our clique of people who just loved real music. And he sat on stage and played a chicken coop and had a mic coming up between his legs, and he was just, I don't know, a very unique character, and wrote some beautiful songs, and I think that's his best known one. So it's kind of a standard in our circle, that song, Have You No Shame.
Very cool. And I hear a bit of humor in the tune you just played, Light and Sweet, and Yo, I Surrender. Where did those tunes come from? Where did that humor kind of come from? Or maybe it's an irony. I don't know. Humor, irony.
Yeah, it's like irony.
Irony.
I'm not sure. Just inspired by the things of the moment. A song like Light and Sweet is sort of, first of all, musically inspired by maybe Afro/Latin-y rhythms, you know, those sort of 6/8 trance-like rhythms. And but then lyrically, I think there's a lot of coffee involved, and there's a chair in my living room that I like to sit on, and I do often start something out by looking out the window and seeing something, and I saw a sparrow sitting all alone, and then I started creating a story out of it, and one thing led to another.
And wrote him a backstory about getting a divorce, it sounds like.
Something like that.
Yeah,
I like, though, the idea that you can pick something and sort of follow its course, and then trust your subconscious to just come up with a story without really knowing what you're writing about. And I think that a lot of these songs are lyrically kind of like that. They're like, the hell is that talking about? But who cares? It was fun.
Yeah. Right, exactly. And I am digging the groove on Whom I Adore.
So yeah,
is that Steve Berlin's got some great baritone sax on that. Where did that rhythm come from? Is that you, Jono? Did they?
Well, you know, that makes me think, because you were mentioning Yo, I Surrender and where things come from, and I feel like you had a lot of trust in the process and in yourself and in everyone around you on this record. Not that you don't usually, but you trusted songs to come about.
Yeah.
In the moment in the studio, like a little more than some of them. Like, I think that was one where it was like you gathered this, you know, I think it was your idea, like, let's get these group of people, you know.
Yeah.
And we just kind of went. You came in with ideas.
Yeah. And I think
unfinished.
Marcus, the guy who played Fife, he sent me a riff on a phone.
That's what it was on that.
And we were like, okay, we'll build everything around that.
Percussion Crawford playing percussion. He's playing like kind of a marching drum rig he made, and I'm on the shitar, and we just kind of.
Yeah, but the shitar through the wah-wah pedal, which is pretty rare. Yeah,
I wanted to do that for like a decade and never did it.
Yeah,
bam.
Yeah, and then the engineer Brooke plays tuba, so he jumped on there, and then Steve Berlin is gold on anything. So
That Barry sax of his is so good.
It's the best.
He played with us a couple nights ago.
Yeah, we saw him in Portland. He sat in with us, and it was heavenly.
You want to stay on stage? The rest of the set.
Want to get in the van?
Very cool. Well, let's hear another song. What do you guys want to play next?
Let's try Grab a Hold. Is that cool?
I've heard that one.
All right. It's the Oliver Wood Trio in a JPR live session. Thank you.
just one of those days, and it all goes wrong. One of those weeks and one of those years. Now you can do sing that same sad song, soak in your own tears. Well, just grab a hold of me. Grab a hold of me. And we'll both go down together. If you just grab a hold of me, maybe you're drowning in a deep, dark dream, and it feels like you don't stand a chance. Maybe you're falling down to the seams. You wanna wake up, but you can't. Yeah, just grab a hold of me. Grab a hold of me. And we'll both go down together. If you just grab a hold of me.
That's the Oliver Wood Trio in a JPR live session. Grab a Hold is the tune here on Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Dave Jackson. Hope you're enjoying this JPR live session.
I'm enjoying it.
I am enjoying it, yeah. So I wanted to chat a bit about the other guys in the trio here. Ted, you are all over our music library upstairs. Did you and Oliver meet working with Tinsley Ellis? I know you guys both have. Is that where it came from? Or
we have a real connection there with Tinsley, but we did not work together with him.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I know Oliver had worked with him before I ever did. I think that connection probably came through Colonel Bruce Hampton.
Really, at the core connection.
For most of it, for me.
Oh, very cool.
That's the connection. That's the DNA.
Yeah, a lot of musicians were connected in the Atlanta area through Colonel Bruce Hampton.
That was the gravitational force.
Yeah. Oh, very cool. The Aquarium Rescue Unit, right? So,
yes.
You've also worked a lot with you're kind of in the inner circle of the Tedeschi Trucks family, too. Is that right? You've done a lot of work with those guys, like Scrap-O-Matic and Susan Tedeschi.
For a long time. And again, I cite Bruce for that. Just going way back to 2000, I guess, is when I first met them. It's 24 years now.
Yeah. When I met you, you were playing with Code Talkers, Bruce Hampton. But then when we started hanging out, you were still in Susan's band.
I played in Susan's band.
Yeah.
Cool. How is it working with those guys?
That's like being here right now.
Right.
It's family stuff.
Very cool. Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, Jono, you're kind of a Swiss Army knife of a musician, I think. Is that,
I suppose that has developed.
Yeah.
Utilitarian device.
Never on purpose.
So did you start as a musician turn producer? Did you have first interest producing, or was percussion where you started, keyboards?
Oh, yeah, musician. Percussion. My dad's a drummer. He's been a professional drummer his whole life.
Cool.
Had a pretty storied career. Uh-huh. Played with Dylan and all sorts
of. Oh, wow.
On hundreds of records and lots of commercials, all the things.
Yeah.
Schoolhouse Rock, the one I'm very proud of.
Oh, is that right? So I need to hear that story then.
I believe, well, he played drums on stuff, and he was good friends with Bob Durow, who I believe was at the helm of all that stuff. And
right.
He sang some on it too. I believe he sang Checks in the Mail.
Oh, really?
Cool. That's awesome. Maybe that's a deep dive right there.
Yeah.
I hope I got that right, but I'm pretty darn sure that's it.
And your rhythm is just, whether you're playing the sitar or the drum kit or whatever you're doing, your rhythm is just kind of advanced. How did you develop that?
I was a dorky musician from the time I was I was playing drums when I was teeny tiny. But advanced. I don't know. I guess there's certain records that really affected me. And if I had to point to one in the last few decades, it would be that J.B. Lenore Passionate Blues record. Oh, yeah. And just the kind of beautiful mismatch of feels on that. So I care a lot about feel.
You could tell.
Yeah, how it feels in each moment. Uh-huh. And then with this group, we all care a lot about that. And that doesn't always mean time and math.
Right.
It ends up being that you could look at it that way after the fact.
Right.
So we play with things a lot, but it's all just felt. If we can let go, then I don't know. Yeah. I think about it a lot.
Well, watching you live,
think about it a lot.
Yeah, watching you live playing keyboards, singing harmonies, doing that all at the same time as that, and it doesn't look like a novelty act or sound like a novelty act. You're doing it all justice. How did you do it? Yeah.
Oh, sorry. How did I?
Well, yeah. How did you
we
like
made him
work?
Do it.
You made
him
do it.
You know, yeah. It was. I guess I was doing it a little before I made a record with this guy Matt Glassmeyer, who you should. It is amazing. He also invented the sitar.
Okay.
He, but incredible musician. I made a duo record with him and we were like, let's play this. And we were poor and living in Brooklyn. And this is back around 2000. And so we just did it together. And I started doing that, playing the right hand keyboard while drumming and singing. And I cursed a lot in our rehearsals. I was like, why am I doing this? He's like, no, it's cool. Keep doing it. And part of the cool thing is I can do little. On each. I don't have the opportunity to play lots of notes on each because I only have one hand.
Right.
And so it kind of, over time, I've done a lot of keyboard parts on Wood Brothers records and it was like, well, I guess I could play that. And then it just developed into this kind of thing there. It all feels like one thing now. And it actually doesn't feel hard anymore. As long as I don't view it as two different things or try to do anything. If I just let it go.
Yeah,
it's like
another piece of the drum kit in a cool way.
It's no different than just playing one instrument to me.
That's cool.
Right now.
Uh-huh. So, and talk a little about the sitar. How did you develop that? Explain that a little, because we don't have it with us today.
My man,
picture
Matt
of today.
Glassmeyer, a.k.a. Meadow Noise, he found a guitar in the trash, and he built one. Gosh, it's probably 30 years ago. And had a band. That was actually the first producing I did was I produced a band, the Morfolinos. And he was playing it. And then I had to do a bunch of radio stuff with like a band called the Gabe Dixon Band. And that thing you can just, so I started messing around building my own. And then you could put it in the overhead of a plane and you could just walk in. I mean, not every radio studio is like you guys,
right,
where, you know, it's trusted and you've got everything mic'd up and it's a great situation.
Right.
We could just walk up with the Wood Brothers or whoever to one mic and just all gather around it with acoustic guitars, acoustic bass, and that fits right in. So right. I don't know, it's become kind of second nature. I can do all my drum set stuff on it.
But for those who don't know, the shitar is a percussion instrument made out of a lousy guitar.
Right. It's essentially a cajon with some extra...
Six-string cajon.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but he can play it like a drum kit. Like right. He can play make it sound like, oh, it's got all the elements of a drum beat if it's in his hands.
Every once in a while, I surprise these guys with a pitch, too. I just play a couple of notes on there.
And they're like, what are you doing? Where's that coming from?
Fine. Have you ever considered like getting another limb attached to? I feel like you could
no more.
I feel like you could unlock a whole new level with that.
Like a video game or something.
Right. So and then Oliver, your guitar tone is just—it's really distinctive, and it looks like you pretty much just plug into a Blues Junior. Do you have pedal boards and stuff that you use a lot?
I have a few little boosty things, and I'm a big fan of tremolo and. Yeah. And I'm really a fan of this amp, and if you guys aren't looking, it might end up in our van, because it has,
yeah, it has that nice
some nice yeah, goodness nice to it. So,
yeah.
I think all of us sort of we're talking about Ted played some songs on a different bass recently, and it still sounded just like Ted.
Right.
And
he's playing the Ook bass last night.
Yeah. So he's right. So he doesn't have the Ook bass with him today, but it's like. I think once we have our musical personalities and we have sounds in our heads and in our hearts, they sort of just come in, you know, whatever we pick up, it should come out.
I've heard Oliver walk into a guitar store and pick up a Tele, plug through some amp, and it just sounds like you, like so distinctly.
Right.
To you, though, we were talking about it, it's like, that might be quite uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And maybe not inspire you just because of the feel or what you're used to or not used to. Then again, being uncomfortable is sometimes awesome.
A lot of good could come out of it. Yeah.
But I'm amazed how people just sound like themselves.
Yeah,
like,
me too.
Yeah.
I got that from B.B. King records or live records. Like sometimes B.B. King, it sounds like they gave him the worst amp in the world. It just sounds like a little pew, pew, you know? But he just plays it exactly the same way. You're like, oh, that's B.B. King.
That's
it doesn't matter what the
lip.
Tone really even is.
Yeah.
So
that's a really nice looking Guild guitar you have. Tell us about that guitar.
It's a guitar that I bought back in the early 90s when everybody, including myself, had Fender Strats. And the guitar hero Stevie Ray Vaughan era was in full force, and I just felt lost in that world. And so I just tried to find something in the most other direction. And I sort of randomly got this guitar, and I liked how it sounded kind of woody. This is a Guild, a 60s Guild hollow body guitar called a T100. And I've just loved it ever since. It's kind of my number one buddy.
Nice. That's a beautiful guitar there.
Yeah.
Well, we have time for another song. What do you want to wrap up with?
I think we're going to try this one that we wrote with Steve Berlin. It's called Yo, I Surrender.
Great tune. This is the Oliver Wood Trio in a JPR Live session.
I got lost in confusion. Heart turned on its head. Got me so tender, I don't know anything, and I don't know anything. Like a sword in the sunlight, just look at it shine. The heart is persistent, just look at it shine. Yo, I surrender. I don't know anything. Yo, I surrender. I don't know anything. I don't know anything. I don't know anything. March down the street with the drums and the brass playing. following the float for pretty girls parading. By the end of the block, a bouquet I'm beholding, filling up my valise with gladiolas and roses. You have surrendered. I don't know anything. You have surrendered. I don't know anything. I don't know anything. Sword in the sunlight, no notion of dying. The heart is persistent, just look at it shine. Your eyes surrender. I don't know anything. Your eyes surrender. I don't know anything. I surrender. I don't know anything. You I surrender. I don't know anything. Yeah, you I surrender.
Yo, I Surrender. It's the Oliver Wood Trio in a JPR live session. That is from the new album Fat Cat Silhouette. Find more about them, including tour info and where to find their music at thewoodbros.com and oliverwoodmusic.com. Thanks for coming in today. Enjoy Big Pondaroo and the Wood Brothers tour coming up, and good luck on the continued success of Fat Cat Silhouette.
Thank you so much. Pleasure to be here, and thanks for playing the music.
Oh, you betcha. JPR live sessions are made possible with support of the Talent Club. They have live music and cold drinks in a casual atmosphere in downtown Talent, Oregon. The live event schedule is at talentclublive.com. JPR live sessions are engineered by John Griffin, and thanks today to Alan Edelman for the use of his drum kit, also Brian McKinnon for the keyboard, and Alex Johansson for helping us haul stuff around yesterday. You can find our live session podcast at Spotify, YouTube, and our website, ijpr.org. I'm Dave Jackson. Thanks for listening to JPR Live Sessions.